Hey, hashtag mwriting listeners, this is KJ, and this is my seventh time attempting to record this pre-episode discussion of something really cool that's being authored by Author Accelerator, our sponsor. I think you all know that I loved working with Jenny Nash on revising my manuscript for The Chicken Sisters. Well, if you'd be interested in working in a small group with Jenny, she is offering a Rock Your Revision small intensive workshop for fiction writers ready to revise manuscripts this summer, July 16th through 19th of 2020 in Santa Barbara, California. If that interests you, if it sounds like something you'll be ready for, if it sounds like something that having it scheduled might make you get ready for, and I think that will work, head on over to authoraccelerator.com, click on the Retreats and Summits link, and then scroll on down to Rock Your Revision to learn more.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone, trying to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2.
Okay. Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the podcast about writing all the things and getting them out into the world. And that's all I'm going to say about that this week.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm Serena Bowen, and I write long things, primarily genre fiction, and I've written 30-odd romances, and my newest one is called Sure Shot, if I ever finish it.
I can't wait for it. Actually, that's not the one I can't wait for. Not that it'll be amazing, but there's another one.
Okay,
I'm into the Company series, and that's not the next one for that one. Okay, I am KJ Delantonia, the dithering other voice on the other end of the microphone. I am the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters coming out this summer, and the book How to Be a Happier Parent, as well as the former editor of the New York Times' Motherlode blog. And those are the things that I do, and it's just me and Serena today.
It is. We're here to work on KJ's launch sequence.
Yes. And if we sound a little odd, we are, as we often are, working in our local library. So it's a tad more echoey than, you know, we keep trying to get them to set this up for podcasting, but for some reason they think other people use these rooms for other things.
The nerve.
The nerve. All right. So yes. Serena, as we all know, has many, many, many past identities, and for all I know is also Catwoman when we're not together. But one of those past identities is helping people, specifically authors, with their websites. So that's our plan today. We're going to go over my website and talk about how I can shift it from being a website primarily designed for a parenting author to a website designed for an author in general. And the way we're going to do this, if you want to take a look, because I'll probably, by the time you hear this, I will have changed it. So we're going to take a lot of screenshots. So if you'd like to see what we're talking about, and we will describe it because you're probably in your car. But if you do want to, just head over to the show notes at amwritingpodcast.com, and there will be pictures, screenshots of this website as it is today, before the dramatic changes that I'm going to make to it.
Huh.
Yeah. It's a good website. Somebody made it for me and I can change it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it other than that there is absolutely no mention of my novel at all whatsoever.
Right.
That's the first thing that's wrong with it. Check.
So I usually get involved with an author's website at about this same point, actually.
Excellent.
Sometimes I'll get calls earlier before people have cover art for their book, and those people have been told that they must have an author website and start building their platform and blah, 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 but they don't have a book cover. And that is fine. Like, it's great to be invested in handling your book launch, but if you really do your website before you have cover art, you're wasting your money.
Mm.
Because, it would be disappointing to do a website all in purple and to find that your book cover is bright yellow. And
yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I gently dissuade people from from spending their hard-earned cash early on. But you're ready to go because you have your cover art.
I do.
And I have to say that I have seen some smashingly beautiful author websites over time. Just, you know, so original and stunning that angels weep.
That's not really what I'm going for.
Well, that's not really what I go for either. I mean, I think that the most important, pretty much the only important thing, is that your website do two things. One is that it helps readers bond with your book before they're ready to click that one click button. So that means that they're familiar with the cover art. So when your page loads at kjdelantonia.com, we should see the new cover art immediately. That's
right.
Pretty much step one. And the second thing is that most readers, I mean, they could learn about us anywhere, right? Like social media, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. There's so many places. But if they actually take the trouble to find their way all the way to your website, it's probably because they have a question. So we're going to anticipate that question and try to answer it within 1 to 2 clicks, 2 being the absolute maximum. So that's really, if you can do those two things, you're doing so, so well.
Excellent. And one of the reasons that I'm leaping on this, it's February, is that I realize, you know what, I searched another author, somebody that I know, because I knew that they had a new book coming out, and I couldn't remember the name, and I needed to know for various reasons.
Right.
And I went to their website. And I couldn't, it wasn't there. That's exactly what someone could do for me. Although, let me just say that author's book is coming out before me.
Okay.
So that person had better just get on it.
Right. And this is sometimes difficult. Like, not everybody likes noodling with websites. Like, I love it, honestly.
Right.
But
and I'm happy to crawl around in there, too. I want to have a mission.
Right. But for some people, this is, like, the hardest part.
And if it is the hardest part, hire someone. You don't have to... You don't have to do this yourself.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
It doesn't. Or just, you know, pop up. You like Squarespace, right?
I love Squarespace, but there are even easier things to do. Like, did you know that if you join the Authors Guild for approximately $200 a year, you get a free website from them and they will help you set it up?
I did not.
Yeah. And you won't have as much control over it as I like to have over mine. But if you just hate websites, that is not a bad option.
Yeah. And, you know... We don't need blogs anymore. You know, your website is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, a largely static entity.
Well, mine is not.
No, I know yours isn't, because you are, are a person who puts out many, many books a year. So if you're that, then you're working with a website with probably shopping and possibly merch and so some other things. On the other hand, I'm, a one book every couple of years author at the moment, although I'd like to speed that up. And so I am not really needing to use my website to inform you of immediate developments.
Right. So I would like to add a third thing to our little to-do list, though, because I don't want to burden everyone and say that you have to do a million things on your author website. But honestly, this third thing could save your career, which is that you must have a way for people to sign up for your newsletter that is both easy without being irritating.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all quite used to pop-ups now.
I don't think anybody cares.
There are obnoxious ones and less obnoxious ones. And anyway, I'll leave that to our readers.
Turned my pop-up off because it was outdated and I could not figure out in the interval of wanting. So normally I have a pop-up.
I turned mine off as well because I didn't like the conversion rate of it. Like, I thought, wow, I'm irritating 97 people for every 3 that type their email into this thing. But instead, I have many other, like, very useful solicitations for email addresses.
Right.
Like, anyway, I didn't...
If you want to sign up for my email, you can go to followkj.com and there you will find my website sign up.
That's great.
I think so.
I'm
pretty pleased
with
it. Here, wait, you'll laugh. I have to show it to Serena and I'll take a... because I changed it very on the fly recently, I had to come up with an image very quickly and...
Oh, you know, that is funny. And I saw this the other day. I don't remember why, but I looked at it.
It's a Playmobil character barfing into a tiny little Playmobil toilet.
Yes, we're going to have to work on this, KJ.
I know, but I figured it would get attention.
It does, but your book cover needs to be right there.
But I didn't, when I did this, I didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we got to talk about my
sign-up
thing. Let's start with the website and then we'll
We'll do the sign up in a minute.
So right now, KJ's website has a bunch of wonderful parenting pictures on it, which it suited her last book perfectly.
And they're all in a sort of a ready pink theme.
Yes, I would quibble with the way that your cover art is not above the fold here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will just tell you a couple of things about this challenge. So websites, as we design them on a screen, are usually horizontal. Books are vertical.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main challenge of my life, aside from plotting novels. But so KJ also just opened the website on her phone, because this is something that I beg people to do and they don't usually listen. But more than half of your website visitors will be on their phones. And that is really hard for authors to figure out when they're struggling to get their hands around their website in the first place, that the phone part is almost more important. You know, people will come and say, could you move my name a half an inch to the right? And I usually let fly that line from The Matrix, like, there is no spoon. You know, there is no half inch, there's no right.
Yeah.
Because most modern web building tools, including Squarespace and the better templates at WordPress, now build a website on the fly for every single visitor based on the dimensions of their screen. So there is no one website.
Mm-hmm.
You can't design it like a movie poster anymore. You have to make something responsive. And that's why I use Squarespace, because they're very good at that.
Right.
And obviously lots of WordPress themes are too. I just am not as familiar.
Mine is a WordPress theme, so we're not going to mess with the back end.
Right.
I'm going to go and do that on my own. We're just going to talk about what it looks like and what it ought to look like.
Right.
All right, so step one.
You have a banner on yours with your name kind of in the middle instead of here above the
mm-hmm.
main navigation.
Mm-hmm.
And for displaying cover art, I actually think that's a little trickier, but you can probably find a way around it, or you can just move your name to the top.
Yep.
You know, it's boring, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then your main navigation is terrific. You have a home, you have the book, which is going to have to change to books.
Yep.
And the top one of those books will be your new one.
Yep.
You have share the book, which is a great idea. You have blog, the podcast, resources about KJ Dell'Antonia and media, which are all great. So I actually wonder if about KJ Dell'Antonia and media couldn't become one thing if you wanted them to be.
Possibly.
There's nothing wrong with there being two. And usually, so people get tunnel vision. And let's say somebody wants to book you on the Today Show for your new book.
Let's
dream big.
Let's just throw
okay?
that out there.
So one of these things should say contact, because people
sure.
get tunnel vision. And I'm sure your contact information is here. But
probably.
But I've been like half asleep, you know, needing coffee
mm-hmm.
and not spotting it on a website. And you really don't want that to happen
no.
to you.
Yeah.
So contact should always be one of those things. And also, if you did dispense with your pop-up and you're leaving that way, then
mm-hmm.
the thing on the far right should be subscribe.
Right.
And that can hop right to that page you showed me a second ago, the follow KJ
yep.
page.
Yep.
But it should be there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So we're doing great. Now, if you scroll down on KJ's front page, you do get her most recent book before this new one. You don't. Oh, okay, wait. I would have put the buy links right here, but you have them fairly close, so that's all good. And then you could also have, instead of this got a book club thing, not that there's
mm-hmm.
anything wrong with it, an email sign up here as well.
Right.
So I would like to have one up in the main nav and then here on the scrolly, scrolly front page. So the reason that websites got scrolly, scrolly is because of phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would rather scroll than use.
Let's have a look at it scrolling on my phone. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, and it's so on the website, you see things laid out, like you see the book cover and then to the right, which exists on in this. You see the text about the book on the mobile. You see the book cover and then you scroll down and you see the text about the book.
Yeah.
And then you scroll down and you see the buy the book in a vertical list, and then
right. So the buttons are horizontal on the
yeah.
laptop and they're vertical
yeah.
on the phone, and that's because you have a properly responsive website. Now, there are some authors who had their websites built more than 10 years ago, and the site still looks good when you pull it up on a computer, but if you pull it up on a
mm-hmm.
phone, it's quite broken. And here's the reason that's not good. Google will punish you.
Huh.
They promote in their search rankings sites that perform on a mobile device. and they, what's the opposite of promote? Demote. Sites that don't, and you don't want to be demoted by Google.
No.
Do you know that old joke, like, where's the best place to hide a dead body? On the 7th page of the Google search result.
Okay.
So don't be that dead body.
Yeah, no. Don't be the dead author body.
Right.
So, all right, so, but it's okay to have a scrolly first page.
Yes.
Is what I'm hearing.
That's
so
right.
The fact that if you just keep scrolling, you just get stuff after stuff after stuff is fine. It's just that maybe the stuff is not in the right order.
Well, your stuff was in a decent order. It's like the New York Times, you know, above the fold, below the fold.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When I'm helping an author with a website, I send a questionnaire. And these are the questions on the questionnaire. Which author websites in your own genre do you like best? Because that's not a bad place to get inspiration and
mm-hmm.
to take a shortcut to figure out what other people are doing right.
That's how we made our podcast.
Ah.
We found there's a podcast. It's called Hurry Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. And I love the design of her website. And I basically was just like, this really looks great. I'm going to make ours look pretty much just like this. And it does.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much, Jocelyn K. Gly.
Then the second question. The colors on your site will be chosen to complement your cover art. But please tell me, what colors do you not like and what are you hoping to see? And so with you, that's you have a lot of colors between your two books, but
yeah.
They complement each other. And that's just where, you know, we would go with
yeah.
colors.
Yeah, we're going to lose the pinkiness of this theme
sure.
and shift it
to highlight the yellow, and that'll
yeah.
be great.
Yeah.
So then one of the hardest decisions is, what do you want your visitors to see first when they arrive on your site? And in other words, the most valuable real estate should be allocated to which of the following? And these four choices cover almost everybody. So choice one, your newest cover art and a blurb quote, which is never a bad choice. So maybe you have that cover because you want readers to bond with it immediately, and you have a very short blurb quote, like the best little bit of something that somebody said, and then a button that says read more. So you can put that person right onto that book's page. So that's always a good decision if
mm-hmm.
you have a book coming out. Then choice two, a view of all of your cover art, like an art gallery. Like if you have an extensive backlist and you want readers of your most recent book, because what if someone arrives on your site with a question, what else did she write?
Right.
So that's the one click thing. And in your case, we would have it in a drop down menu probably, because the art gallery doesn't really work for you. So choice three, your newest blog post. So this is usually not the right choice for my clients, but it could be if you were a very active blogger and your blogging was related to the book you were trying
mm-hmm.
to sell. Then that might work. And the last choice I have here is a book representing each of your various series, which, again, the ones...
And that's what yours looks like.
Yes. And the websites that have the most content on them are the biggest challenge, because when we have that question, you know, what question did the person arrive with? The more books you have, the more varied that question could be.
Yeah.
Like, what's next in this or that series? Who, you know, which audiobook did I not listen to? You know, the questions get more complicated with the more books someone has in their catalog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that there are that many questions you're going to come to my website looking for an answer to. I mean, I guess a peculiarity of my website is that I have these resources, and they are parenting resources. You can get holiday survival guides. You can get an ebook about homework. You can get the 10 mantras for happier parents. I have quite a few of them. Most fiction readers aren't going to be here coming after these things.
Right.
But my parenting book is also coming out in paperback. So some people will be coming out for them, and sometimes I will be talking about them. So it's a little, complicated.
I wonder if your website shouldn't have two book covers sort of facing each other on the front of it. Like
mm-hmm.
with the Chicken Sisters on the left and the Happier Parent on the right. And it's basically like people make a grand choice the minute they arrive at your website, because they're probably there for one
yes,
topic or
probably.
Topic.
Yeah.
And then you would sort of move the person on to the page that deals with that. And your resources might be down at the scrolly bottom of the parenting book.
Right. Right now, yeah. And right now the resources require you to add your email, and they might as well continue to require you to add your email.
Sure.
So, all right. Yeah, I think that seems like a good idea, although in terms of my personal ability to adjust this website, hopefully I can pull that off. Somebody else. I've done them. Mm-hmm. Somebody else did this one.
Right.
I don't have the money to have them go back in and fix it. I might get somebody else.
Well, but see, on this page, your name is at the top, not in the middle.
Yep.
So you just need to duplicate a page like this.
Right. And then make that the... You're right. So what I can do is abandon the current, just to get a little bit into the weeds, but you might be in my position too, is abandon the current. Oh, look. So the home... Right now, my home... When you go to kjdellen.tonio.com, it's actually not pointing to what's called home here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointing to the book.
Ew.
So I just can pick anywhere. So you can pick anywhere for your, you know, you.com
domain
to point to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and home is probably not a necessary piece of it. Or yeah, okay. Like you said, I can do some redesigning here.
Yep. And, you know, as you move through the process of pre-launch to the book launch to after the launch, your needs change a little bit. I am accustomed to people who come back once a year to have their website gussied up for their new book.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would like to mention for any listeners who are considering paying to have a website done is please don't hire someone who wants you to pay them on a monthly basis forever.
But
this used to be the way it was done.
Yeah.
And there are still some people out there who are paying for a website which is static. And they're just paying to have it hosted because they're stuck. And that is, you don't have to do that.
Right.
You can pay someone to design a thing and to set up the hosting for you, but then you have to have the keys.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, yeah. So part of your design process, and it was part of mine, should be the person, you know, walking you through the most basic changes that you might want to make on your website. So, you know, to change the pictures, to change the pop-up, to change, you know, where the homepage points. You should know how to do those small things.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do. It's more, I know that they used something called Bakery Builder to build this, and it's not my more familiar thing, but I can do it. And I will say, you know, you can find, just ask around, ask your author friends for who has designed their website, but do ask around, because I also have a friend who's been working on designing her website with her web designer for... let's see, since August.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The person is really slow. And she, you know, called me fairly recently and was like, is this normal? And I was like, no, absolutely no. Of course, this friend also like draws a picture of what she wants it to look like and then sends that to the web designer. So the web designer may also be a little frustrated. There may be fault on both sides, but I don't think so. I think it just should not be taking anywhere near this long. It's crazy. Somebody should be able to get you rolling fairly quickly.
And also just to have the ability to say when it will be done.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. All right. What's next?
Well, if you really like working with your website, there are so many things you can do to help guide your author destiny using your own website. For example, you can give away a free book in exchange for an email signup. So the parts of my website that you can see when you just navigate to serenabowen.com is like just the tip of that iceberg, because I have lots of other hidden content there that is serving special purposes for me. And the more comfortable you are touching your own website and making pages, the more fun you can have with that.
Mm-hmm.
So during launch week, I usually have a contest where people enter it by sharing the book. Now, not every reader of my books is interested in entering a giveaway and sharing the cover, you know, and that's fine. But for that core of people who is really interested in helping me promote it, you know, for whatever reason, I have a contest on a hidden page in my website where you enter the link of where you shared it and you put in your name and, you know, the winner gets like a $25 gift card or something. So there's all kinds of things you can run off of your own website that are more controllable than social media.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about Facebook, which we all basically have to use when we promote a book, it's ugly. It's ugly and you can't make a post do what you want.
Right.
You can't, you know, make it have a button that it's just not a friendly place in the world. And when you become a little more comfortable with using your own site, you suddenly figure out how much you can do.
Well, I think a lot of people who have a website don't realize that you can have pages on your website that aren't immediately visible to every visitor to your website. And it's not that they're hidden. It's not that someone who typed, kjdelantonia.com/ potato cakes wouldn't get to the potato cakes page, but who's going to do that?
Right.
And it's not in your menu. So you can have 100 potato cake pages or, you know, whatever. And I think even I forget that sometimes. You just kind of blitz it.
So if you're doing an event in Chicago, you could have kjdelantonia.com/Chicago.
Yep.
If there was something, a resource there that you wanted those people to
have. And if you want to, you can, but you can buy a special URL that even point, like you can create a page within your own website. So it's kjdelantonia.com/potato cakes. But instead you buy the website, potatolovers.com, and then you just point it. You don't create a website for potatocakelovers.com.
Right, right.
You just point it to that page
on
your website. So there's all kinds of sort of playful things you could. So for example, this follow KJ link,
mm-hmm.
I just own that and I just point it to different things. Right now it's actually pointed to the Flowdesk, which is the email software that I use to create my emails.
Uh-huh.
It used to be pointed to a page within my website. And before that, it was pointed to a MailChimp page. I can point that wherever I want to.
Right. And so that you actually bring up a really good point, which is it's usually better to point your sign up at your own website.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have this capacity to point at different places, which protects you. But I have a friend who can never leave MailChimp because she has the MailChimp sign-up link in the back of a 40-book backlist.
Yeah.
So she's stuck there at their new higher prices because she can't go and change. She literally can't because the people that bought that book before now, if they read it and click on that link, are going to her old spot.
Yeah, no, she's stuck. I remember you telling me about that because I had kind of fallen into that because I'd pointed something and I couldn't unpoint because I forgot things. But anyway.
So I use a service called Genius Links,
mm-hmm.
and it's a paid short linker, but you can change the destination link of absolutely anything.
That is very nice because you can't do that with tinyurl.com.
Right. So Genius Links is great. There are probably others. I believe Smart URL allows you to change the ultimate destination. But the other thing that Genius does, it does several things well, actually. It also points people to the Amazon store of their geographical location. So I can make one Amazon link, but it's a Genius link. And if that person is in France, it will take them to amazon.fr.
Hmm.
And the other thing it does, which is it pays for itself, is that if you have affiliate accounts at Amazon, Apple, Google, Kobo, those are the ones that come to mind. You put that information into Genius and it just adds it to every single link. And that is very helpful to me as well.
Yeah.
Not Kobo actually, but anyway, there's lots of ways. So I just got a check from Apple affiliates for $500, which I'm sure paid for, you know, my entire year's worth of Genius linking. So it's not just this added expense, but it can actually put money in your pocket.
Right. Cool. So I don't know. What's next about what should we look at anything else on my thing specifically, or
I think your work is cut out for you in a way that is
doable.
Quite doable.
Yeah.
You're going to change some colors around.
I'm going to just have fewer things up here at the top, I think. Look, there's already some chickens. So
yeah,
I'm partly set.
Uh-huh. you're going to get both of those books on the front page.
Yeah.
And probably lose some more personal pictures because they won't make as much sense to your novel.
So I'm going to make a new page. I'm just going to abandon some of these pages. I'm just going to make a new page. And that's going to be I'm going to make a new landing page.
Right. Yeah. And just like if you were going to redo chapter 4 of your work in progress, you wouldn't delete chapter 4. You
right.
would copy it and tinker until you were satisfied. So this will be the same.
Yep. That's my plan. Any other thoughts for people as they embark on either changing or creating their own websites?
I would look into the Authors Guild if you're really hesitant to play with websites. I would look into Squarespace if you're slightly more adventurous. I dislike WordPress with the fire of a thousand suns, so I can't, in good conscience, recommend it, although lots of people like it. I'm not a fan of Wix. Usually the platforms that have a free option look kind of, I don't like them. But one free option that is, at least more user-friendly is Blogger. Like, you can still make a website at Google, and it's, it is what it is, but if you need a landing spot,
right,
you have no funds to devote to that at this point, then there are ways to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we should say about websites before we move on. Websites. You should have one.
You should have one. It won't sell your book, though.
No.
It's great to be findable and to help you
answer
questions.
I wanted to talk about, the whole should I have a blog page? Not me personally, but as a general rule.
Right.
And if a blog feels like a mandatory additional task to you, then my thought for you is no, you don't really need
right.
to, because there's nothing worse than clicking on someone's blog page and seeing three entries from 2016.
Right. Well, the other thing is you can call it news.
Yeah.
And you can just put something there three times a year when you have news. Like, here's
that would be okay.
Right? Here's my new cover.
Right.
And the nice thing about having that there is that it's also, then you can put the link to that news on Facebook instead of typing the news into Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other nice thing is that typically if you use the blog software of whatever you're creating, that is designed to be easily updatable.
Yes.
So if you use that for your news, it's designed so that you could just pop in and be like, I'll be in Chicago. And
right.
and that's it. You don't have to sort of change something that feels more set on your page. So there's reasons to use that software, but maybe not to call it blog.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, 15 years ago, every agent would say, you have to blog, but that's just not true anymore,
yeah.
and people consume their news differently.
I don't put my emails into that page.
No?
No.
You've abandoned your blog?
I have.
Okay.
Mine has got three entries. No, it's got, thousands of entries, but they're old and they're outdated and I haven't touched it for a while because I don't put my emails in there. And I don't know if I will or if I won't.
Okay.
I have to decide. Decisions. The first decision is going to be to go in here, put the two book covers up and close off everything else while I revise it. Basically, I'm going to just do that. So if anyone comes in the meantime, they come, there are two book covers, there are links to the books, and I'm playing around in the background.
Right. And when you link your book, you should do a few vendors.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to live in a world where Amazon is the only store.
No. And we do have that new...
The new one. Oh, so
right.
You should always put...
What is it called again? I can't remember.
Isn't it Bookshop?
Maybe.
We're going to find this and put it in.
Yeah, because it's important. We've been linking to IndieBound,
but it's changing.
It's changing. The Booksellers Association is creating a new way for authors to link to an indie supporting
platform
which can help you sell books. Because I will say, IndieBound affiliate linking is
is agonizingly painful as the person who does it. And also, it doesn't, you listeners, typically don't end up buying the book that way. And I get it. I hope you're all good. I hope you're all trotting off to the local bookstore or skipping over to your local bookstore's website. But I can see why you're not buying it on IndieBound. But we don't want to link to Amazon because, you know, while we're all buying stuff from Amazon, we don't want them to rule the world.
So bookshop.org.
That's it.
Is the new storefront.
And it's pretty.
Of IndieBound. And it is new. Like, mm-hmm. It just launched within the last 4 weeks. And they're going to take some of the friction of buying from IndieBound away. So give bookshop.org a look. And they also have an affiliate program. But every book that is purchased on here kicks profit into a fund, which is divided among the member bookstores, which is most independent bookstores.
Right. And a cool thing that they're doing is helping those independent bookstores set up their own websites. So this doesn't really apply to us, but it's kind of neat. I'm pleased. I'm delighted.
It's exciting.
I'm delighted that it's out there.
After I read about it, I thought, oh my goodness, this should not have taken so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now we got to figure out what we've been reading.
Oh, I know. I'm ready.
Okay, good. I have to think.
Well, yesterday I opened an envelope and discovered a copy of Chasing Cassandra by Lisa Claypass inside, which means that at some point I pre-ordered it, and I never pre-order anything. But I love this author so much, and she has a new novel about once a year, which is just about right, because if she had more of them, I would never get anything done, because she is my queen. She is a romance author who, her series is set in the Victorian era, actually, in England. But she's so skillful with characters and just so amazing with dialogue that I have to, like, take a few deep breaths after I finish her book and go look at my poor excuse for a book afterwards.
I think everybody has somebody that is like that.
Yes.
So I have just finished Minor Dramas and Other Catastrophes by Kathleen West. I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast yet, but I loved it. If you liked The Gifted School, if you have liked books by Tom Perrotta, yeah. If you like I can think of a couple of them. And basically, if books set in hothouse schools are things, and public, like, not boarding schools, that's a different genre. But books set in hot schools, house schools full of crazy parents are something that you enjoy, and I do, then this is one for you. It's a really fun story of a dedicated teacher who's a little bit too intense about teaching her students about the social evils of the world and how the parents around her react to that. And it's just fun. Like, it's a weekend read. It's entertaining. It's smart. The characters are great. I think you'll enjoy it. So that's Minor Dramas and Other Catastrophes from Kathleen West.
Great.
I probably haven't yet done a Books That Won't Bum You Out on Instagram about that, but it is definitely, I'll be recording it this week, so.
Amazing.
Will be there for me to link to by the time this goes live.
Cool.
All right. That is our podcast, but before we shut down, let me please remind you to head out to Facebook, if you can stand it, and join our Facebook group, where we don't talk about any of the things that you avoid Facebook for. Instead, we talk about all things writing related and writerly questions and just about anything you can get it answered. If you want to find the show notes and all of the, actually there aren't going to be that many screenshots, but if you want to find the show notes and the screenshots from the website that we're talking about, that's amwritingpodcast.com, which is also where you can find links to support the podcast if you'd like to, with a small donation, and supporters of the podcast get pretty much weekly top fives. I might have had to take a holiday this week accidentally. And small mini podcasts, 5 minute long shorts, little bits of advice from one of us to all of you that drop right into your podcast player once you get it set up. You don't have to go somewhere special to listen. And I think that's super cool.
Yay!
That's it. Now you can take us out.
Until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The #AmWritingPodcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause, stop, stall.
Thank you.